back to another episode of Footy for Thought. It's your host, Greenfella, here with the one and only
DK.
DK. By the way, for our listeners, the very few of them we have for now.
If any,
that is true. This is the first podcast that we are recording a video of. We just got a camera. Shout out to DK. Hit the Best Buy right before Black Friday. Shout out Best Buy. That's true. So hopefully this is first of many. Hopefully this is first of many. And we got some interesting topic for today.
This is singular for today.
This is kind of like an SOS pod.
Yeah. It's like crazy stuff going on.
Yeah. FFT EP 2.0.
What are you going to call this 2.0?
I don't know. I think we're going to call this one Error, Peps in Trouble.
I think that's good.
Because City, yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. I mean, look, if we go back to 1.1, I think I said that... It's not gonna look too good for City.
You think so?
I think so.
I mean, we're gonna have to have the listeners to go back and analyze the pod.
Yeah. I mean, 4-0.
That's incredible.
That this is first time that Pep's lost 5 in a row in the Prem.
No, it's maybe 5 in a row in his career.
In his career, that's crazy. 9th. Overall career loss to Tottenham. Spurs are the club that Pep has lost the most games to out of every single club he's played against throughout his whole managerial career. So that's 9 losses. It was always a tough game for them.
It's always a bogey team for them.
Always. But I mean, at the Etihad, they come back post international break. You got guys rested. I mean, battle for the league. None of that nonsense no more. Yeah. Got to push.
They got to push, and pretty poor push.
I mean, if anything, they got pushed.
Yeah.
Backwards.
100%.
So what do you think? Well, what's going on?
I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, it's number one is Rodrigo.
Right. AKA I mean, he was there today.
Yeah, with the Ballon d'Or.
With the Ballon d'Or and his crutch.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess...
he's the number one issue right now, the fact that he's not there. I mean, their midfield looks lightweight. They don't have any destroyers in the team.
His aura just, I guess, wasn't enough to... You know, just the presence wasn't enough to do for City.
Yeah, Spurs just wanted it more.
I mean, I think Spurs have been wanting it for quite a while. They just, you know, they're never able to...
They come up short.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, I think the first issue is definitely Rodri not being there. I think a second issue is Kovacic. You know, he's probably the only player in the squad that has at least somewhat similar skill set to Rodri in the sense that he can both, you know...
Progress.
Hold the ball, yeah.
You know, make the box-to-box runs.
True.
They just seemed... very lackluster. Although they believe they had over 18 shots.
That's a lot.
Given that maybe only 2 or 3 of them were on target.
Yeah.
They're still creating. They still had chances in the box.
They did. But we have to also preface this by saying that Spurs were missing Romero and Van de Ven. Correct?
Right. They were. I mean, Van de Ven wasn't playing Dragosin. You predicted, actually, that Dragosin was what he was meant for, a game like City. And he played very well. I mean, he shut them down, recovered the ball quite well, didn't really give much space.
The fullbacks give a lot of issues to City.
Oh, yeah.
Udogi and Pedro Porro.
Pedro.
Pedro Pe.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he got a goal today. He bagged. Did. Matters too.
Yeah, I think Kulusevski was really good as well.
I think so. I think Kulusevski's been actually on a decent run.
I mean, I think he was always like a good player, but I think he was kind of misused as a like a pure right winger. I think he's more of a like a central kind of player, you know.
Right. I mean, where do they go from here?
City?
Yeah.
I think that they don't really have too many options in terms of where they can go. I think that they're kind of limited by their players right now. I mean, Pep after the game came out and he said, you know, no team, I think, in any sport can be successful for 9 years in a row.
Has he been? He came 2015-16?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, yeah, so almost 9 years.
Yeah, but I mean, in a way, he's not wrong, but I think that the issue with City was recruitment-wise, I think, just as much of a problem as losing Rodri because, you know, there are a lot of teams that have these top players that, you know, play the biggest role in their team. And when they're out, you could see a clear drop-off. And Rodri's one of them, but it's up to the team to recruit the right types of players that can slot in and, you know, at least do a job while that player is out.
Listen, from one point of view, kind of, we could give kudos to them in a sense that they were able to be successful without having too much recruitment going on season in, season out. They never really dipped their feet in the water during January transfers much, to be fair.
I think because January transfers is kind of like a short-term type of thing, and you're honestly outlaying more money in January in order to fill certain positions. And I think that if City were to make a signing in January, whichever club they were trying to buy from could hold them to a king's ransom.
I just feel like they don't really do the overpayment.
Yeah, they don't do the overpayment, and January is literally the time to overpay, so...
Yeah, but...
2-2.
Going into this January, I feel like they're going to have to dip. They're going to have to...
I don't know.
Open up the...
Who did they go for?
Purse. We have Zubimendi. Obviously, you have to look at it from this perspective, you know. Guys who come in January, they know that they're not going to be playing that role for more than 6 months. True, you know, the Rodri comes back, he's the starter, he's a superstar on that team.
Yeah.
Arguably the powerhouse, the main guy there.
Yeah, 100%.
And you have a guy like Zubimendi who, let's say he gets lured in and they say, okay, look, we need you right now. We need you till the end of the season. We can't push without having someone of your caliber in that anchor role. But once the guy's knee heals, you're not going to be seeing too many minutes.
I mean, that's true, especially with Pep. Pep rarely rotates Rodri just because he, you know, lacks a player there. But that is kind of like a catch-22 in a sense that, you know, maybe if Zubimendi is there, then maybe he will rotate Rodri more. Eventually, Rodri's going to age out, you know.
How old is he? 28, 27?
Nah, I think he's already 30.
30?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was talking about Real Madrid, I think, going there.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing a lot of talking, too much talking for his own good, in my opinion.
He always talks a lot.
What do you do, though? They don't really create... Well, they don't really score much, especially the wingers outside of Haaland. Realistically, he has maybe, up until this game, the statistic was that he scored 55% of all of the team goals of City for the season. So City bagged 22 goals, something along those lines.
Okay.
And he scored 12 of them.
That's a lot. You could blame this on Pep as well for creating the team with an over-reliance on Haaland.
I just think when Haaland and KDB created that partnership between them, where KDB was like, okay, listen, I'm your garçon. I'm going to hand you balls on a silver platter. All you got to do is just put them away.
That was excellent.
And Pep saw that and he's like, okay, great. I don't have to pull United where we sign Hoyland, we sign Xerxes, we have Rashford.
Yeah, you already have technically the best striker in the world.
And right, and you're still going in as United into the transfer market looking for more strikers.
Exactly.
So from a Pep's point of view, you know, him being conservative in that sense, I understand. However, last season you had Foden, who was putting away goals.
I mean, he was player of the season.
He was player of the season. He was scoring almost every other game. And then this year, he's gone.
Yeah, no goals, no assists. He's not producing.
No goals, no, I don't know about assists.
No goals for sure.
Your wingers, Doku isn't doing much.
He's injured, I think, right now.
Savinho, I think, only has two assists.
Three
assists on the season.
Zero goals.
Your midfield. KDB came out today, and he actually looked solid. He had a few pretty high-scoring chances, but also couldn't finish. And he just doesn't seem like he could be playing full 90s week in, week out no more.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem because you don't have that type of creator in the team as good as KDB. Even Gundogan, after he came back from Barcelona, he's kind of been a shadow of his...
of his former self. He's correct, been, he just has not been there.
I mean, the whole team has been kind of poor. Yeah. Not even kind of. They've been quite poor. I think that even some results, like against Wolves, where they won the last minute, they could have easily drawn that game. They could have lost that game. Same thing with Fulham at the Etihad when they won 3-2. Could have lost that game as well. I think that this run has been coming for a while. And, I mean, we're looking at it right now.
To be fair, I don't really see Pep too under fire.
No, he's not under fire. He just signed a new
contract extension. Right, the 1+1. Given his CV, he's been successful.
He's going to turn it around, but maybe not this season.
The thing is, though, this season we saw a lot of change within the Premier League.
The league has gotten harder.
I mean, we have Arne Slot coming in, doing a great job at Liverpool. We'll see how they play tomorrow. You have...
Southampton. Can you do something for me?
You have Amorim coming in, new coach, new style of play. His Sporting absolutely embarrassed City.
Yeah.
Sure, given that there were two penalties.
Yeah.
But still, outplayed them.
You have Unai, you have Iraola, you have Mikel.
You have Mikel, who, I mean, we just saw today.
It was a masterclass in the first half.
His big boys came back. Saka looked great.
Yeah.
He didn't even have Rice playing.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
I think the league is up for grabs this season. I don't think City are going to finish top two.
Is it time for a complete rebrand? Is it time for City to say, okay, look, we have to cut our losses. This was a squad that did so well for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The big names on the squad sheet weren't really changed much from season to season. Yeah, you had Fernandinho, who was kind of the Rodri before Rodri.
Yeah.
But that's
kind of what they had to do. They needed to get someone who was going to take over from Rodri in the same way that Rodri took over from Fernandinho.
KDB is not KDBing as much anymore. I think it's time to just cut your losses, maybe.
I think it's difficult, though. If Pep signs a contract extension for 2 years, I mean, that's not really a rebuild.
But what do they do then?
They just gotta.
He's still gonna have to make signings.
Yeah, he does, and they're in like a win now kind of mode because I think a lot of the players that they have right now are kind of aging out. I mean, Gundogan is already in his 30s. KDB is in his 30s. Walker is in his 30s.
Oh, Walker's falling off. Has to be steady. Kyle is not Kyle anymore.
Yeah. Who else is there? Who's also getting? I mean, Kovacic, I think, is also like 30-ish.
Yeah.
They're
attacking. I mean, they're midfielders. Yeah, their attackers are pretty young.
Yes, yeah, Savio, Haaland.
I don't see Haaland staying there for too long. Doku, though, to be fair, Doku. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not that many young players as much. Yeah. I mean,
Bernardo's also
older. Yeah, older. They have their squad has been kind of aging for years, and I think that it's come to a point where City are kind of at a crossroads between having a full rebuild and kind of going into a win now. But since they've already won pretty much everything they can possibly win with this squad.
Do they just look for the future? Do they do what United and Chelsea and all these teams who utilize their academy youths? I mean, they gave up Delap. They gave up Palmer.
Yeah, they even have someone like McAtee who gets no minutes.
Rico Lewis, we saw him today.
Yeah.
You gotta believe in your.
I think the core has become too old.
Yeah, absolutely. And he doesn't really have too many players on rotation.
Exactly.
He doesn't, and his squad list, I believe,
not quality rotations.
Right, not quality rotation, and his squad list, in terms of the number of players he has in the main squad, is probably one of the lowest in the league, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's definitely no Chelsea with 50,000 wingers in each position, you know, and they keep signing more and more. But, yeah, I think Pep kind of became a little overly dependent
on Haaland, but it's partially his fault because, you know.
Do you think Haaland here, for example, has to kind of say, okay, I'm playing a little too one-dimensionally?
I think it's hard because he's so good. And if the correct passes were being made into his path, I mean, maybe not right now because he's kind of underperforming his expected goals, but in general, if the right type of passes and chances were being created, he would finish them. So,
but he's underperforming his XG, though, as you told me earlier.
He is, yeah. I think he scored 2 from an expected of XG of 8.
I mean, yeah, that's no good. That's no good. I mean, I kind of have a little idea, Pep. If you're listening, listen, this is Greenfellow speaking to you right now. You play Gvardiol up front. You play Gvardiol on that wing. Look at him for Croatia.
He plays center back.
Yeah, but the last game against Portugal, he started moving up. He played that flank, and he created. He had one goal that got called offside, and then he goes on, and 15 or 20 minutes or so later, he bags another.
I think that if you want to put Gvardiol anywhere, you should just play him at Rodri's position. That's the hot take.
You think?
Maybe.
Okay, but somewhere other than left back.
Yeah,
that's where he's been playing, right? Yeah, he's been playing left back.
Yeah, like left center back, left back, left inverted center mid from left back.
You know what? Just ship Haaland off and just play him as striker. The guy could strike the ball crazy. We've seen some bangers outside the box.
I think that City, in order for them to be successful, they're going to have to go through kind of a rebuild that kind of starts in the summer and just play out the season to the best of their ability.
I think this is coming from an Arsenal fan who just who needs them to drop the points.
I mean, I don't feel them as a threat though this season. I really don't.
Yeah, they don't seem. I think we've had the talks where before going into international break, certain fellas were like, "Yeah, Pep goes to this once a season."
Yeah,
he's gonna come back.
But that's like push. It's an easy argument to make every single season. Yeah, there's no Rodri. He comes back. You know, form picks up. They go on beat until the end of the season. It's not the same this year. I think they've been dropping off season by season, pretty consistently. Still winning the league, but still dropping off. Little by little until you get to a point now where you lost 5 in a row and you're 8 points behind Liverpool. If Liverpool win tomorrow.
Right, and this isn't your 100-point kind of head-to-head.
It's not,
toe-to-toe season with Liverpool anymore.
I think that City were, even though the treble winners were the most successful version of City, I think the Centurions were arguably a better team because they had so much goals and assists from every part of their squad, something that they lack right now. Like, if Haaland isn't scoring, who's scoring? Savio hasn't scored this year.
Hasn't.
Doku creates, beats his man, but can also finish. De Bruyne has been in and out. Gundogan hasn't been that good.
Bernardo also.
Yeah.
Just...
It's really difficult to plan for City because their main outlet is Haaland. Other teams know that their main outlet is Haaland as well.
And it's very easy to pinpoint, you know, where Haaland's passes to Haaland are going to be coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
You see Savio, we spoke about this earlier as well. You see him trying to constantly feed Haaland.
Yeah.
At a certain point, exactly what Dragosin did today,
yeah,
you just read that.
You just man-mark Haaland.
You man-mark, you know, you probably need 2 men to mark him, but Yeah,
you play kind of zonally, but you kind of have one center back play man mark, and you have the other center back kind of cover off the passes.
Right, because they don't have anybody else really attacking centrally.
But we said that Spurs were going to cause them problems.
Yeah.
Because we kind of, we were wrong in the sense that Foden did play, right, because we wanted to have a little bit more ball retention. But I think it's also on Foden as well, because he was such a big...
Grealish played today too, no?
No, he played. He got subbed in.
He got subbed in at the end.
Yeah, but I'm saying that Foden was such a big outlet for them last season, in addition to Haaland. You know, he kind of picked up that KDB type of number, mantle that City lacked without KDB being there. And now since Foden's not performing, there's legitimately only one outlet for City.
If I'm Pep, given the fact that you're so reliant on Haaland, I say you play a 4-4-1-1, right? Where you're two central midfielders now. It's not like you're overly reliant on, let's say, only Kovacic to cover the ground. You have your Savinho. And even, to be fair, I would drop Doku on that, and I would play Grealish on the left,
really?
Right, for the, you know, retaining possession. Holding the ball.
But you put
Foden playing as kind of that shadow striker behind Haaland. And we've seen Foden take the ball into the box.
Foden's good at that. He's good at that.
And that's all you need.
But he's not on form right now. So
he's not on him form, but you got to get him on form. You got to give him minutes. You got to say, listen, buddy, this is your time to shine. We know what you can do. You showed us what you can do. Yeah. You could progress the ball. You can create space. Haaland would benefit from having Foden pull men onto him as he's dribbling into the box, laying that pass off.
Yeah.
Having Bernardo play behind Foden. Foden gets the men, edge of the box, plays it down to Bernardo. Bernardo makes that final pass to Haaland, kind of as like a pivot within that trio. You know, I just feel like they're also lacking creativity. They can't, their counterattacking has been lackluster. Their build to play has been lackluster. What do you think?
I think that in order for City to succeed, maybe they have to kind of go back to their treble winning season type of defensive performances, in the sense that they need to use all of their defenders and have two shields in front of them in order to kind of, first of all, stop conceding goals. Because I think, you know, maybe City score first today, you know, the game has different outcome. But as soon as you concede one goal, we've seen it with a lot of teams, it's very difficult to claw your way back. And with Spurs, once they scored, you're basically having to open yourself up. And Spurs are really good at playing through teams. So I think that City have to focus on their defensive aspect of the game. The thing is with City is that in the treble season, when they were playing with, you know, four center backs, right? And you had Rodri as a shield in front of them. You had players like KDB, like Foden, creating. So basically, when you have that amount of world-class players, you don't need to have attacking fullbacks necessarily. You don't need to try to push other players out of their positions in order to create, because you have such high world-class players like KDB, like Haaland, that can just make a chance out of nothing score. But when you're in the position now where there's only Haaland in the squad that essentially scores all of the goals, you have to create more of, you know, a risk by pushing players out of position in order to create, to make up those numbers that you're missing from those world-class players. And that's what I think undoes all of the progress City has made, because they don't have such a strong core anymore. It's more relying on one player, and that one player isn't getting fed or is misfiring, then who's going to pick up the mantle? Even Alvarez, I mean, we forget Alvarez went to Atletico.
I feel like that's an underlying loss for them.
Yeah, 100%.
That they're feeling now. Their set pieces also started lacking.
Yeah.
I mean, he was putting in, I remember watching last season, he was scoring free kicks left and right.
I mean, I don't know, left and right, but well, he was dangerous.
He was dangerous. Ball was flying on net.
I think that
some of them were going in.
You got to take the money, though.
But let me ask you this.
For $80 million.
You made a point, right, regarding how when Rodri played kind of that shielding position in front of his four CBs, mm-hmm. I believe in that system, Stones was playing, right?
Stones played today, though.
Stones, well, I'm talking about back then. Stones was playing, right? And if I recall correctly, Stones was actually progressing the ball forward at times.
I mean, yeah, they were all kind of progressing because, you know, in these teams, just because they play a certain formation doesn't mean that's how they build up. So you could have John Stones moving into midfield with Rodri when you're in possession and then dropping down when you're out of possession.
Right.
And, I mean, Stones would be good as a progressor of the ball, but I don't necessarily think that City have an issue progressing the ball. I think their issues come when it's in the final third.
Final third, they're not retaining possession there. They're constantly, I feel like they're also rushing the final ball into the box.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have... Out of the expected goals that Haaland has, and I've watched highlights, and I saw today, he's having dangerous chances in terms of high scoring percentage chances, but the ball always comes in and comes off in such an awkward way.
That's because the way they try to feed him the ball has to essentially go into the box at a certain angle because he's the only threat. So they're putting the box and they're putting the ball into the box in such a way that there are a very small amount of strikers in the world that can finish it. Haaland can make a half chance into a goal 85% of the time.
We've seen that very often. But they're relying too much on the half chances.
But I think that that's the ultimate issue with City.
They're quarter chances now.
Yeah, the quarter chances. That's the ultimate issue with City right now, is that they're too reliant on Haaland. There's no one else that can fill the void of De Bruyne's old numbers. Even Foden's a shadow of himself. And that's what's making them go on this run. And I think it's going to continue till the end of the season. They have a very, very difficult fixture list coming up. And with the amount of injuries, I mean, injuries have had their role to play as well. But
that's Pep's fault, ultimately.
I mean, it's not Pep only. It's only the squad. I mean, sure. Why are you wasting $50 million on Mateusz Nunes?
That was probably the one transfer that I gotta say out of the
even the
amount of transfers that he's had from the beginning of his City career to now that didn't work out. I can't really think of many other transfers that have not worked out for him.
I mean, I agree.
So that's fine.
But it's fine. But maybe you use that money somewhere else. I mean, they spent a lot of money on Savio. He's been all right, but...
Which I don't understand why. This is kind of...
They should have went for João Neves in the summer. He went for ultimately $50 million to PSG.
And that was a bargain.
That was a bargain.
He's great. I watched him. He's a baller. During the Euros.
That's the type of player they need to start going for again. Those young stars. Kind of like how Chelsea's been doing it, but maybe a little bit more proven. But then ultimately the issue arises that you can't spend $100 million on a player... on multiple players in windows, and if they're not 100 million players, then are they really going to improve City? They're kind of in a catch-22 right now where...
It's a good point.
Where if they don't spend these crazy amounts, they're not going to get the types of players that are going to elevate their game. But if they don't spend enough, then they have to spend time developing these players, which ultimately creates this disconnect between being successful now and then growing in a rebuild. So they kind of have to choose, I think, in January or in the summer, do we go for a full-on rebuild or do we just try to win now by adding more pieces? You know, maybe go for Florian Wirtz.
I saw him linked to City.
I think he'd be a good signing, but he's going to cost 100 plus million and you're going to need someone who can rotate with Rodri. You ultimately need players that fit in multiple positions. They could have went for somebody like Amadou Onana. On the ball, maybe he's not the greatest.
But as a box-to-box.
Box-to-box.
And adds a second huge presence in the box.
That's true. Someone like him, I think that even when Onana was at Lille and they had more of the ball, he was not too bad on the ball. I can't really say anything. But those are the types of players they kind of need to go for. And their squad, maybe they've kept Bernardo Silva for too long.
I think so, too. I think he's
there was no point of bringing back Gundogan, I think.
There was no point either. I agree with that. I think Bernardo Silva also, we started noticing his, at least I have started noticing his falling off during his Portugal stint during the summer.
I agree, but we've been seeing that for a while because we've known that he's wanted to leave, and City have been always pretty clear with other clubs that if you give us enough money, we'll let him go. And ultimately, no club gives enough money, and I don't really know if anyone is going to give enough money this summer.
I don't think he goes for more than 40 million.
I don't even think 40 is...
40 is even appropriate for him.
Right now, probably not. Maybe he goes to Saudi.
I mean, listen.
You want everything there is to win.
The thing is with him as well, and maybe this is a Pep issue.
Pep issue, yeah.
But what I noticed is that this is during their clash with Arsenal.
Yeah.
Right? That crazy game.
Yeah.
When Bernardo was playing on the right wing.
Yeah.
He was dribbling the ball down the byline.
Yeah.
And it was always the same thing. It was always dribble, 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 stop.
Pass to the middle.
And pass to the middle. Look for Haaland. Yeah. Same thing that's happening with Savio.
Well, I mean, because...
Do you think that's a Pep system type of thing? Do you think that's kind of like, okay, Pep sits them down in a circle and plays duck, duck, goose in terms of who's going to be making those passes and those same runs into Haaland? And it's kind of like, all right, we got to switch up these names week to week just to confuse opponents.
Nah, I mean...
But it's ultimately, it comes down to being the same play every single time.
I think it's a little bit of an oversimplification because in a sense, they do that because they ultimately want to retain possession. Because you can give somebody like Doku or like Bernardo the license to dribble into the box, right? But if you lose that ball and your rest defense is not up to par, then you lose that ball and you have a very high chance of getting countered on and scored, which is essentially what's going on with City now. So maybe they do a kind of different risk analysis and be like, we're going to have our wingers attack the fullback every single time, because that's ultimately what they wanted with Doku, right? When they were playing in the treble season, they were playing, what, Bernardo / Foden right wing?
Right wing.
And Grealish left wing.
Yeah.
Right? Those are all players that, maybe bar Foden, are cautious in the final third.
Especially Grealish.
He's cautious, yeah. He can progress the ball extremely well. But when it comes to the final third, he is very risk averse, and that's not
Pep. A bad thing.
It's a Pep thing, because at Villa he wasn't the way that he is at City, and right now they need some kind of other creative options to basically solve the problem of not being able to. I mean, this was the first game that they didn't score this season, right? So they're still scoring goals and they're still getting chances, but you need to somehow have your wingers create more. I mean, if we look at City teams in the past, I mean, Sterling, Mahrez, these players used to put up a lot of numbers.
They did, and I remember Sterling always had the cut in.
Yeah, the cutback.
The cutback off the right foot.
Yeah,
exactly. Curl it.
Yeah.
Mahrez takes on his man, exactly. Takes on a second man because he gets bored with the first.
Exactly.
Pings that ball in. They're missing that.
They are, and I think that's what ultimately... I think the quality drop-off has been immense.
Immense, immense, immense. I think they let Mahrez go a little too early.
Maybe so, yeah.
Do you think that they could possibly benefit from more attacking-minded wingbacks? Like a Frimpong?
I mean, to replace somebody like Walker, maybe.
Listen,
I know what they would benefit from. This is a hot take. It would benefit from getting relegated.
Kind of a... fresh slate.
Yeah. Pep, you know, he would do something that...
Do you think they go undefeated in the championship?
100%.
Yeah?
With the current squad?
Well, I don't think by the FFP rules that they would be able to retain
I think they still might be, because you're still, like, when you get relegated, I think you're still on the Prem... like you're basically getting like parachute payments, right, from the Prem when you get relegated. So maybe you still have a few years to sort out your wage bill before you're really forced to sign championship level players.
I think we got to reach out to some lawyers.
I mean, you could hope.
Get them out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, they don't look good. They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think they finished maybe third.
They definitely don't look like title contenders.
Maybe they finished fourth.
They don't look scary.
What if Chelsea finish ahead of them?
Wow. I mean, what if United wins their game against them?
I mean, that'll be great. That'll be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Emerim the Dream. Imagine getting a win against...
it's not like he's never done it before.
He didn't.
He's done it before.
I'll take that.
I wanted to know, I didn't get to watch the post-match interview from Pep.
Yeah.
Because it took him a while to get into the...
I mean, he probably... What did he say? He probably did the Pep thing.
The mind games?
No, the sit down, shut your mouth, drink some water. You know what I'm talking about? He basically said that he didn't seem like this was something that he could get out of immediately. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Pep basically said that, you know, no team can be successful for this long.
Right.
And that's kind of not like a Pep thing to say.
It's not, right? I was literally thinking that that's not a winning mentality kind of statement.
I agree. But he's ultimately not wrong because we've seen dynastic teams fall off. You know, we've seen Bayern fall off. We've seen Juve fall off.
Barca
fall off. All of these dynastic teams, they fall off because at some point, it's almost impossible to replace dynastic level players with more dynastic level players in the same form as the player that they replace. You're always going to have at least some kind of a drop off from that
in
player.
In certain aspects, of course, of the game.
Yeah.
No one's going to be able to match the archetype, the exact, you know, there's no second KDB.
There is not.
There is not.
Yes. But that's ultimately why teams fall off like that, because teams start with younger players. Teams that are building like a dynasty, they start off with younger players. They hit their prime, you know, they go past their prime. And then you're kind of gambling on who you're going to replace with, especially with the financial rules being how they are at this time. You can't blow 100 million on this player to replace this player. You can't blow 100 million player to replace that player. And you're ultimately having to, you know, they had some good bargain signings. Akanji, I think he was like 23 mil from Dortmund. Good player.
Amazing. I mean, yeah. He's been incredible week in, week out. Yeah, yeah, he's been good.
But you know, if you look at City, even their back line, I mean, Guardiola's 100. Stones was like 50. Ake was like 50. Akanji's the only, like, bargain signing. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Diaz was also like 50. So all of these Walker was like 50.
And that was...
Yeah, that was way
like,
back.
That was way back
so
when.
With inflation, so that's probably that's like 80, a 70, 80.
70, 80, yeah.
Yeah, so they spent a lot of money on their defenders. They spent a lot of money, and I think another issue that we discussed kind of briefly is that they held on to players like Bernardo for too long.
Way too long.
For Walker for way too long.
Walker's falling off kind of started towards the end of the last season.
I think it was even before that.
Even before that.
I think Walker has always been a fast player that's been able to shut down other wingers because of his pace, but his on-the-ball work is something that was better when he was younger in his career, when he was more energetic. Now,
when he was only focused on having one family.
That's true. You know, I mean, that's prime Walker.
Mans can't multitask.
He can.
Kyle is not Kyle.
Yeah, it's true. And ultimately, we see that with the City dropping off and Kyle being one of the players that they held on for too long.
And they don't really have anyone appropriate to replace him with.
Yeah, you could have like Rico Lewis play like as an inverted right back, but
if you're looking for pace, I mean, you have, we go back to the topic, right? You have Frimpong. However,
Frimpong was in the City Academy.
Right. I mean, listen, I think by the end of the season, Pep is going to be putting the chippy chips in the bag for Palmer.
Yeah, that's, wow. That would have been crazy.
That Palmer right now, and he didn't want to leave City.
No, that's what he said.
He did not want to leave City.
Maybe one City wanted to leave him.
I mean, he's always a United fan.
It's true.
But imagine what delusion they could have aside. Been. Right, imagine what they could have been doing with him now. I think that they give up on their academy youths a little
too easily.
Too easily.
Yeah.
Liam Delap.
Yeah.
Palmer.
McAtee.
I mean, come on. You gotta trust the process.
You do. And Pep has been good in his career by introducing younger players. I don't think.
Has he though?
Yeah.
With City.
City. Rico Lewis.
Okay. Who else? Who out of his current starting lineup came up through the ranks?
But I think
and have not been bought.
I think
look at United.
Foden.
Okay, Foden. That's one guy right there. Look at United, let's say, right?
Okay, but you have to preface this by saying that...
Maynou, I mean, Nacho came from Atletico.
But there's levels to this because City are not going to bed in youth players when they're at the top.
Okay,
you
fine.
Know? They're only going to bed them in if they're world class. Something like, you know, Ethan Wanieri might become in the future. That's when you bed him into a team that's successful.
This
you
guy.
Know?
This scores a goal, this guy.
No, but I'm being honest. I'm not saying that he's world-class. I'm saying that he has world-class potential, therefore he can be included in a team that is going for the title, you know, going for the UCL, going for all the competition. You're not going to include... Garnacho wouldn't get into their team right now.
He wouldn't.
You know?
He would.
But if City were in eighth, then he would. Maybe. There's levels, because you can introduce these players when you're
What about Pedro Neto?
Pedro Neto?
I mean, okay, actually, I mean, not an academy player, but I don't know. It's a good point. You're right. I guess they were competing in top flight over and over and over again.
It's hard to bet in players and not have a drop-off.
Yeah.
I mean, look how long it took Foden to become a starter. It took him probably like four or five seasons, to become a true starter. And, you know, we're at a point now where... he's not as good at this moment in time.
Yeah. I'm putting Pep and City on fraud alert. Fraud watch.
Fraudchester in the mud.
I think they got work to do. They got ways to go.
They got work to do, but they gotta choose right now what they want
to
do.
Yeah, they need to be smart in their recruitment.
You know,
I think they got to splash the bread.
You think?
I think ultimately that's what it's going to come down to.
They do, but like
I could see
Baleba.
Wow. That's a good name to shout. However,
they would want 100 mil for him.
Yeah, I don't see him going for less than 100 to 120.
You think?
And I'll explain to you why.
Baleba.
Oh, he's great. I mean, he got a red card today though.
Carlos.
But
Baleba.
And he would do well for them. He's progressive.
Right.
He wins the ball back. He's good.
He is good.
Here's the issue.
What's the issue?
Brighton are now looking to compete. They have the facilities for all that.
Big men. Yeah.
They do. They're looking to compete. You have a guy who arguably could end up being better than Caicedo.
Yeah. I think
they sold Caicedo for how much? 110?
115.
115. They know that if they give up Baleba right now, they're gonna suffer. So that's why if they are to give him up, they need money for him where they can go and splash 70 to 80% of that.
Who, Brighton?
Yeah, to bring in recruitment.
No, I think that even if they sell him for like 100, they can find someone, you know, out of South America for like 7 mil.
Yeah, but...
And then replace him, you know?
I mean,
that's their whole model, but that City can't do that. City can't buy a 7 million player out of South America and build him up. While also trying to compete for titles. And that's ultimately the top club paradox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to see, do you think we're going to see a impulse, surprise?
I don't think so.
Splash?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I just don't know what kind of player they can get in January that's really going to make an impact on their season.
Yeah, nothing really comes to mind either for me.
They have to go for like, young players that Joel like
Manny,
have high,
maybe?
Nah, he would be like 100 million.
I don't think 100.
Really?
I don't think 100. I see him, realistically, I see him going for 65 to 70.
Really?
I do not think 100. He has not been...
Hak Chuamani.
Yeah, he's not been up to par this season.
He's been not Hak Chuamani. I mean, he's been all right, I think. I think he's been... I mean, maybe not incredible, but he's been good. And I don't think Real Madrid are going to want to give him up for anything less than 70. I really don't. I think in this market, I mean, if they have someone like Declan Rice going for 100, you're not going to take less than 80.
I would take Declan over Chuamani, though.
You might be right. I mean, maybe. Maybe.
I would take Declan over Chuamani personally.
I mean, maybe. But for City, you need Chuamani and you need Rice. Imagine if they got Rice, Rodri's injury wouldn't even have mattered.
It wouldn't have.
Wow, it would have been incredible.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard for them. They got to go for younger players that have high potential. Someone like...
Joshua Kimmich?
It's
not young, but
I feel like that's the player that they should kind of avoid because I think he's already 28 or something like that, 29.
Whatever it is. I mean, look.
But that's what I'm saying. They need to choose win now or rebuild. You know, if they want to win now, then yeah, sign Joshua Kimmich, right? If you want to rebuild, then you have to sign someone like Piero Hincapié, right?
It's a good shout.
Someone like that. You have to sign players that have high potential that maybe they can slot in. But we've seen that players in a Pep system, the first season doesn't work out. And how many times can you sign a new player and wait a season for them to come around and not have a drop-off? I mean, maybe this season was a season where City needed to buy those types of players and let them bid in and then go again next season. But I think it's hard to view that. Hindsight 2020, it's hard to look at your squad and say, you know, this season we're not going to do it, right? And
do you think going into this season, Pep had suspicions that, hey, I think we're going to have a drop-off?
I'm not sure. I think City would have been relatively okay if Rodri didn't get injured. I mean, we saw it last season when he got a red card for 3 games. They also lost all 3 games, I think. Or they were they at least...
So that should have been a preface for them.
It should have been, but who do you sign in world football?
He would have had enough time from that point up until this point to have developed someone.
I mean, I agree, but who do you sign? No, I don't think to develop. But to
not
sign.
Develop, but to Zubimendi. To mold. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then it's also a paradox because then you're going to be like, why would we sign this player for 70 million if we have Rodri in that position?
Because
But 70... Pep's done that before. Pep's done that before. He signed... who did he sign? You know, he signed someone along the lines of Ake, right, for 50, and then a few seasons later, he buys Guardiola for 100, right? He bought a more expensive player for a player that was already good for him. So, yeah, feasibly, they could have done that with Rodri, but, you know, Zubimendi would have been a hard player to get out of Real Sociedad, right? And...
Yeah, because these... These Basque players, they don't want to leave the Basque region.
It's because he wants to come play in North London.
Yeah.
And not in the city of Manchester.
Right. Can't wait till Arteta's playing 9 in the back.
9 in the back. Listen.
With Saka, inshallah.
I mean, listen. At the end of the day, City fell off, and it's a good thing for football.
Yep. I would say, Pep, I wish you all the best.
Not really.
But I don't.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. You had your time to shine on top.
Now you're a bald fraud.
Yeah. It don't shine no more.
Yeah.
So, overall, I'm putting them on fraud watch. I've said this earlier.
They finished fourth.
I was literally stole the words out of my mouth. They finished fourth.
Yeah.
I think third is going to be up for grabs between Chelsea, possibly Villa.
Ooh. Wow, so you're saying that City might not even make UCL? Wow, that would be crazy.
I don't know. No.
Look up their fixture list right now.
That's a little...
Or you want me to do it?
I'll
do it.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. I got you.
That's a little crazy, though. No, I don't think that they miss out on Champs. The champions.
Okay, I got it right here. They're playing Feyenoord at home.
Are you talking about the UCL?
I'm doing like in general.
Oh, all of it.
Okay, so
right.
Feyenoord at home. Liverpool at Anfield.
Ooh, Forest.
Forest at the Etihad. Away, shout out to Croydon. Selhurst Park against Palace. Juventus Juve. Away. United at home. Villa away.
Everton at home.
And then it gets a little bit easier. It
gets a lot easier.
I mean, not really, because then if you go Brentford past and Brentford, West Ham,
Ipswich.
Yeah, but then it's City, Chelsea at the Etihad, PSG. Arsenal, City at the Emirates, City, Newcastle at the Etihad, Liverpool again, and then
Tottenham.
Yeah, they wow. And then Forest away, and then Brighton. We're looking at an extremely difficult fixture list going into basically March. Like, extremely difficult. I mean, like, let's go over it real quick. Liverpool, very tough game. You know,
always is, always was.
Forest might be, because they've been playing well. Juve, tough game. United,
in Italy.
Yeah, in Turin. United, Amorim, we'll see. Maybe tough game. Villa, tough game.
Everton.
PSG, tough game. Chelsea, tough game. Arsenal, tough game. Newcastle, Liverpool, Spurs, Forest again, Brighton. That's like basically 12 fixtures where they can possibly drop points.
I mean, they will definitely drop points.
I mean, 100%. But then after that, it gets a little bit easier towards the end of the season. But we can feasibly look at City by the time they play United in April, they could be like 10, 15 points off the top.
And that's
maybe even 20. I mean, they're already going to be 8 if Liverpool wins.
If Liverpool wins tomorrow, yeah, it's going to be 8 points off.
That's
and they actually look at their goals, the goal differential.
I mean, they got battered today. I mean,
they're at plus 5.
It's not good.
It's not good at all. They gave up 17. That's more than the rest of the top 7. Even Forest gave up less than them.
Yeah, but listen, that's what... I mean, it's really hard because they have such a difficult fixture list pretty much until April in the most congested period, which is right now. You know, Arsenal at the beginning of the season, they had a really difficult fixture list playing, what, 5 of the top 7 away this season? Or last season? The top 7, they've played 5 of those games away this season. They have a relatively easy-ish December, January. And then towards the end of the season, you know, sprinkled in difficult fixture here and there. But City, they have all these difficult fixtures. And even a team like Palace at Selhurst Park might even cause them an issue. That team could have caused them an issue in years past, right? So how are they going to react now? When they have these injuries, they don't have Rodri, it might be pretty difficult. I mean, City might be 15, 20 points off the top by the time April comes. And
from there, that's it.
Yeah. But Pep signed an extension. So, maybe City could have feasibly started looking for a replacement this season and had someone come in and start that rejuvenation of City. And clearly, they decided not
crazy.
To.
That's still crazy to call it a rebirth when literally they won the league.
They did
last
season.
I mean,
it's a rebirth in the sense that they're core players. We've seen it
in other sports.
Where the core ages to the ages point out. Where they have to choose: do we win now or do we rebuild? Right.
I mean, it's kind of like the Bulls. You know, they just all got older. Yeah. They stuck with the same guys. Didn't really wanna.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't really want to switch them
because
out.
Because it's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard to really just be like, oh, we're going to be, like, not as good this season.
Because, listen, no top team ever wants to admit to their fans, like, okay, we're going to – don't expect.
Yeah, much.
You know, look forward to a top 4.
To the City fans that exist, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the plastic's melting.
Yeah. We're going to see how many people end up at the Etihad when they're far off the top.
Yeah. But, yeah, so – Pep, you sir, Fraud Watch. Haaland, you sir.
Stay humble.
Stay humble, Fraud Watch.
Phil Foden.
I don't blame him.
For what? The child production or his misfirings?
I mean, that's crazy out of context, you know. The misfirings. Yeah, but I don't blame him. I
shooting blanks.
I like Phil. I've always liked Phil. I've always admired his game. Him, I wish...
Off the pitch or on the pitch?
I mean, he's got game both on and off.
I guess, fair.
So, yeah. City, we hope for nothing but the worst for you.
Yeah.
Coming from a United fan, I mean, I'm in the worst, so.
Look at the hoodie he's wearing.
Please don't. I'm going to censor it out. I'm gonna green screen patch.
You're going to put a Carson's face.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Carwizzy. Shout out Swindon.
Yeah. Shout out
Pango.
Yeah. All right.
That's that. So
that was Footy for Thought.
Footy for Thought. Little emergency podcast episode.
1.2?
1.2.
Or 2.0. I can't be 2.0. I think that's got to be for the full pod.
2.0 is going to be come tomorrow, Monday evening, after all the fixtures.
That's going to be uploaded towards the end of the week.
Towards the end of the week.
Yeah.
Take care, and
God bless.
This was Footy for Thought. We're signing off. Peace.